Well, good morning, everyone. If I've not met you yet, my name is Mindy Moore, and I'm the campus pastor here at St. Luke's Midtown. And yeah, I kind of agree with Kylie. I feel like we've just had all the church that we could possibly handle. I was sitting there just during everything that happened in this service up until this moment, just feeling so much gratitude. So much gratitude for all of you, for the people who create these experiences for us, for our kids, for just this community. So I'm so thankful, and it's with that spirit I want to invite you to pray with me. God, your spirit is with us. God, whatever we bring to this place, we know that you hold it with us. And we know that we hold it with each other. God, I give you so much thanks for this community. I give you so much thanks that we get to study your word together. And I give you so much thanks that we can bring every single part of ourselves here and know that we are safe and loved and cherished. Jesus, speak to us now. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we are in week three of a series called How We Deal With Others, Finding a Middle Way. And in this series, we're looking at this passage out of Galatians 5 and some other scripture that illustrates these ideas, but we're looking at this idea of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, it's week three, so far we've looked at love, joy, and today we're looking at peace. Our executive pastor, Jen Gibbs, told me a story about a congregant in a church that she used to serve. Now, this church was pretty liturgical in their practice, and so they did something every Sunday called the passing of the peace. Some of you have been in settings where you do the passing of the peace. For those of you that aren't familiar, it is essentially here in our context, it's very similar to the turn and greet, or what I call every introvert's least favorite part of the church service. Some of you are like, uh-huh, you can be proud of it, you can embrace it, I'm not offended. I know it can be rough. But so the passing of peace, it's similar to that time at the beginning of the service, but instead of trying to make small talk with the people around you, we give you something to say. Some of you, you can take this, you can use this next week if you want. And you just go and you say, peace of Christ, or peace be with you. And you kind of do that to the people in your section. But there was this one woman in Pastor Jen's former congregation, and she did the passing of the peace a little bit differently. She would come up to you. She would kind of clasp your hand in her hand. She would look you right in the eye, and she would say, peace is yours. And she would hang on. Like, if you weren't buying what she was telling you, she would repeat herself. She would say, peace is yours, until you really believed it. Now, you know that I love someone that goes all in on a church moment, right? Like, that brings me a lot of joy and delight. But I think what I also love about this story is that when I think about peace and the way that she's giving it, there's nothing passive about it. It's determined. It's active. It's a little bit fierce, even. And I wonder for us as we talk about peace today, if those words, determined, active, fierce, if those are the kinds of things that often come to our minds when we talk about peace. I think those words actually probably have a little more edge to them than where we would normally go when we're having this conversation. My guess is that when we think about peace, we think about things like tranquility and quiet and not being disturbed. But I wonder today, what if there's more to peace than that? What if peace is more complex than we often think? What if peace is deeper than just going with the flow or feeling good all the time? What if peace is ours? And what if peace wants to transform us and our stories and our relationships and the world around us? Maybe a question we could hold together today is, what do we believe is possible when it comes to peace. Today we're looking at a story that appears a couple of times throughout the Gospels. And today we're specifically looking at a story out of the book of Mark. This is the story, as you heard Sarah and the kids read to us, of Jesus calming the storm. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. A lot of preachers use this passage to talk about peace. You may have heard a sermon like this on peace, so you might not be super surprised that this is what we're doing with this topic. But I do think if we look a little bit closer, we dive just a little bit deeper under the surface in this story, there are some unique things that we can learn about peace here. There are some unique things we can learn from Jesus' perspective and from what happens to his friends on that boat. This story really reminds us of two true aspects of peace. The first is that we find our peace in Jesus, and sometimes Jesus meets us in the storm. Now, Mark goes about telling this story in an interesting way. He starts off this section of scripture by saying, "On that day when evening had come," and as your resident Bible nerd, I always love when a passage of scripture starts this way, when it gives us a little teaser, because what it tells us is, oh, something happened before this. Something happened that we should pay attention to. Maybe instead of just reading these eight verses together, we should go back and see what happened before this. Now, I'm not going to read you two chapters of the Bible today, so don't worry. But I do want to tell you what's going on in Mark 3 and 4 so you can know what Jesus' mindset is when he gets on that boat. Mark 3 and 4 are just full of so many things. You've got Jesus, and he's out there. He's teaching, he's preaching, he's healing people. But Jesus is also experiencing a ton of conflict in these chapters. I mean, he's had disagreements with his family. He's had problems with the townspeople. He's had tension with the religious leaders. There's even this one moment where a bunch of people get together and they like make up this rumor that Jesus has a demon. I just want you to imagine, that's what Jesus is going through as he gets on this boat. I mean, he has had a day behind him. And so I think it's safe to say when Jesus gets on the boat in this story, he's not feeling particularly peaceful in his soul. He's probably pretty worn out. And so when I look at that little detail that Jesus is asleep on the boat, I think, well, yeah, I mean, he probably needed a nap. I would need one too if I had had the kind of day that Jesus has had. And so what we might expect is that him getting on the water and away from all the drama of the people in town, that that might be the thing that would give Jesus peace. But as the story starts to unfold, we see that that's not true at all. Because instead of peace, Jesus and his group of friends get this violent, unexpected storm. Now, Jesus is on this boat ride with his disciples. Do you remember what at least four of these people did before they started hanging out with Jesus? Some of you are like, I think it's a fisherman, but I don't want to say it. You can say it, but you're right. It is. They were fishermen. Okay, so these guys were experienced. This would not have been their first storm on this sea. I thought about myself, and if I had been on that boat, and I thought, you know, I went whale watching once, and it was a calm day, okay? And I ended up below the deck, like at a picnic table like this with my head on my hands. So I would not have done well in the stormy sea, but these guys, they should have been fine. They knew how to navigate this. They knew how to get through a difficult situation. But there was something about this storm that was different for them. There was something about this storm that made them afraid. It was more chaotic than normal. And this storm, for whatever reason, made peace seem completely out of reach. You know, I bet that we can all point to that kind of storm in our stories. Now, they probably didn't happen on a boat, but they happened in our lives, where we found ourselves in some kind of conflict with someone who we love. We found ourselves facing an illness that we can't figure out how we got there. We found ourselves facing a trauma that we're still unpacking decades later, and we look at that storm and we say, this is different. We think, I don't know how to navigate this one. I don't know how peace gets to be part of this particular story. As I was thinking about that, it made me wonder if that's why the disciples' first reaction to this storm just really resonates with me. Because if you look at the disciples and what they do when the waves start churning and the wind starts blowing and things seem like they're out of control, they go to Jesus, but they don't go to Jesus to get, like, help necessarily. They don't go thinking he's going to have a solution. They go to him and they wake him up and they say to him, probably with fear and anger in their voices, they say, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care, Jesus, what we're going through right now? Don't you care, Jesus, that our lives are in danger? Don't you care, Jesus, that everything seems out of control? Don't you care that we're frightened and disturbed and don't know what to do next? Don't you care? I just think that's such an honest question when we find ourselves seeking peace. When we find ourselves in a situation that feels like it's so beyond our control, or we find ourselves at just a complete dead end that we don't know how to navigate. Because when we feel like our peace is disturbed, when we feel like we're being tossed around in the boat, we're just looking for Jesus to bring us some stability and some calm. It can feel like we're all alone. And it can feel like that storm's going on for an awfully long time. Now, we know what Jesus does next in this story. He does care. He gets up. He looks at the wind and the wave and he says, peace, be still, stop. And all this calm starts to enter the picture. Just at his simple words, chaos turns into peace, and they start going on their journey. They complete their journey across the lake. But when I look at the way that Jesus navigates this whole situation, when I look at the way he's able to rest and respond and speak decisively, I just wonder if Jesus is holding on to a different kind of peace, a peace that lets him do that. I wonder if he's holding on to the kind of peace that his disciples haven't quite discovered yet, and maybe a peace that we could still discover. It's the kind of peace that we read about in Psalm 3 when the psalmist writes this: I lie down and sleep. I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. I'm not afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. See, in this verse, what I hear is the chaos is happening. The peace is disturbed. But there's something deeper and holier at work that we can hold on to. When I look at the way Jesus is able to draw peace into this situation, I think it's not because Jesus was really good at, like, his somatic breathing exercises. Do you do those? I love, these are my favorite thing. Okay, I'm not hating on the somatic breathing exercises, but that's not where he got his peace. It's not because Jesus was really good at, like, checking out and chilling out and, like, everything's gonna be fine. That wasn't the kind of peace that Jesus brings here. Jesus's peace here is rooted in something deeper. It's rooted in the movement of the Spirit of God. It's because he knows that whatever conflict is going on, whatever there is to be rightly afraid of, God is still at work in that place. And it reminds us that God will be at work, even in the middle of the most challenging, devastating storms that we face. See, when I read this story, I think sometimes it's in the storm that we actually start to learn what real peace is. Sometimes we enter into these incredibly difficult parts of our lives, and that's where we learn what peace means and what it means to be people who create peace. That feels like a huge tension to me. Because we don't want to be in those storms. We don't want to face those terrible times. You know, Mindy Moore's never going to stand in front of you and say, it all happens for a reason. So that's not what we're saying here. But what I am saying, thank you, Kylie. What I am saying is that something happens to us in those storms where we come out differently on the other side. I mean, I think about Jesus' disciples and what they experienced on that boat, and they learned something about him in that moment that they didn't know before they went through that storm. If you had come to his disciples before they got in that boat and said, hey, do you think it's possible that someone could, like, say some words and control the weather? They would have looked at you like you were just making very strange things up. Like they wouldn't have known what that meant or how that could happen because that wasn't how things worked. It wasn't how things worked until it did, until Jesus did that. You know, I think part of walking into the different storms of our lives is being people who want to experience and create peace, is we just have to believe that something better is possible. Now, I am fully aware that is not easy to do. I've been watching the headlines, I mean, recently, but especially this week, and I've just seen story after story, predictions for the next season of our state and our country and just our communities. And I think, where's the peace? What do I do with this? I mean, my heart just feels like it keeps breaking and breaking until it can't break anymore. And I feel so much despair. Sometimes I think that this idea that transforming peace could happen in and around us and through us, it feels almost as impossible as a guy taking a nap on a boat calming a storm. So I just can't talk about peace and not name that this morning because it wouldn't be honest, it wouldn't be true. I think it wouldn't be where most of us are. But I also know that I've been confronted with this sort of false dichotomy in my soul because sometimes it feels like we only have two choices when we face a world or a situation that isn't peaceful. We feel like, okay, do I just check out? Do I just let myself go numb because it's just too hard? Or do I just become really bitter and lash out? I feel that temptation. I don't know if you feel that temptation, but that is where I am as I look at this idea of peace. But as I study the fruit of the Spirit and I think about the story of Jesus and what Jesus invites us into, I just think there is probably another way. There probably is a middle way through the storms that we find, a different way to create peace. I think Jesus invites us to look at what it means to experience and make peace, even in the hardest situations. And friends, it's not just because he taught it. It's not just because he said some nice sermons about it. It's because he lived it. He walked through all that hard stuff and still believed in the possibility of what peace could do. And I feel so grateful for that. I also feel so grateful that we're talking about the challenges of experiencing and creating peace on this particular weekend. As we look at, as we celebrate the life and legacy of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Because when I think about Dr. King's life, I think this was someone who just could have given up on this whole idea of peace. I mean, the things he experienced, the heartbreaks he felt, and yet somehow he held on and was just miraculously committed to this idea that peace was possible. I want to read you his words from a 1965 article in Ebony magazine. He said, "World peace through nonviolent means is neither absurd nor unattainable. All other methods have failed. Thus, we must begin anew. Those of us who believe in this method can be voices of reason, sanity, and understanding amid voices of violence, hatred, and emotion. We can very well set a mood of peace out of which a system of peace can be built." We can set a mood of peace that lays foundations for a system of peace. I think that's a really good reminder for us when we find ourselves overwhelmed, when we find ourselves wondering, well, what can I really do about that? I'm sure you're going to fill in the blank with so many things there. But it's that these individual things we do, they matter. They make a difference. We start where we are. I think, Kylie, did you pray that? Or Stevie, someone said that in the service. And I was like, yes, that's it. We start where we are because sometimes that's exactly what we can do. There's an organization in Indianapolis called Peace Learning Center. Some of you may have worked with them before. They're located out near Eagle Creek Park. But I really love the work that they're doing because they foster all these different kinds of peacemaking programs. And I'm telling you, they're doing some amazing, like, big picture work. They're talking about things like equity and climate change and power dynamics and all this stuff that I'm just like, this is an amazing conversation. But here's what they're also doing. They're talking about things like what it means to have genuine reconciliation in our one-to-one relationships. They're talking about the power of an apology. They're talking about things that seem so small, but they're talking about those because they believe that every single one of us can do that work of peace wherever we are. When I think about peace like that, I'm just reminded that it all matters. Peace, it's really big, but it's also really small. Peace is individual, but it's also collective. Peace is as dramatic as stopping a storm with a single word, but it's also as under the radar as having that coffee with that person who's really hard for you and having an honest, compassionate conversation in a Starbucks. Peace can start even there. You know, sometimes we find our peace in the middle of the storm. Sometimes we find it on the other side. Our peace journeys can look different. Sometimes we're the ones that find ourselves having to create the peace even when we don't have a handbook for how to do it, even when we don't know exactly what the next step is. But when I look at Jesus' story, I see that in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the conflict, in the middle of the unknown, even in those places, Jesus can bring us peace. Jesus can teach us how to be peace. And even in those hard places, just like the woman at Pastor Jen's old church used to say, peace is ours. Let's pray. God, my simple prayer today as we get ready to sing this last song is that you would give us peace, that you would give us the courage to create peace, and that you would help us know what true peace looks like wherever we are. Amen.